Father, I need you to bring it all together. Mine's going in several different directions, and I need to be focused on one. But we do want to pray for Dora's fall and the surgery that she's scheduled to have tomorrow, that it would be successful, the healing would be expedient, and Father, the recovery would be total and complete. Pray for all of those who still may be traveling, for traveling mercies. Father, we pray for Kelly this morning. Father, I pray right now that he's just aware of your presence. And for all of those who are incarcerated, Father, for the men that I have the pleasure of teaching on Tuesdays and sharing life together, way more than just teaching. It's sharing life together. It's a tough time of year. It's tough through the holidays for the incarcerated and their families. And we pray for them today, Father. But Lord, we're down to the most serious stuff of all right now. Your word, how it's presented, how it's received, and what impact it's going to make on our lives. So Father, my prayer, our prayer would be that we hear from you this morning through the living word of God that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The gospel as recorded by the Apostle John, the gospel of belief, the gospel of proof. Today we hear from another John, this being John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. In the first chapter, we will see seven names that prove Jesus is the Son of God. In the first chapter, there are seven works or acts attributed to Jesus which prove he is the Son of God. There are also seven people in John's gospel that call Jesus the Son of God. Now, God's trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us something, and it's very, very important. So without any more introduction, let's dig in to our second sermon, second message on John chapter 1. We'll be covering verses 19 through 34. Would you please stand at the reading of God's word this morning? John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. We pray that your blessing would be upon the reading of your word, Father, that you would be honored, and that Christ would be exalted, and that we would be changed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I also, a slight pause here, I want to let the people know that are watching online right now, we're not there. We're not there because they're watching online. Boy, yeah. We have no internet service, so if somebody is, you hear of somebody that tried to access our service, it's not there. It will be uploaded tomorrow in video format. It's being recorded, so it'll be uploaded. But I just wanted you to know, if you are watching right now, you're not seeing anything. Would everybody that's not here please raise your hand? It goes something like that. I don't know. Frank, should I get back to the message? Yeah. I can't draw. I can't tell jokes. Praise God, maybe I can preach. Identity is a huge issue in the evangelical church today. Countless people attending church that have never been converted, in this case, they are lost but think they're saved. So they do not know who they are not. Countless people that are saved don't know who they are in Christ. Simple sermon points this morning. No blanks, just a simple, logical flow, I hope. So please follow along through the text and allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts. Identity inspires and empowers purpose. John the Baptist had a purpose. Point number one, John the Baptist knew who he was not. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Now, this is where it really, really comes down to. John, who do you think you are? What do you believe about yourself? The religious institution was trying to sort things out. They sent priests and Levites to do some investigation. There is this wild man going around through the countryside preaching the message of repentance and baptizing the people, a real boat rocker in his day. And he was stirring up the status quo. Brothers and sisters, isn't it about time we stirred up the status quo? You know, there's nothing wrong with rocking the boat once in a while with the good news of Jesus, that Jesus saves. And John, of course, comes with the message of repentance, but he knows he's not the Messiah. John, begins his response by defining himself negatively. It's interesting. He tells everybody what he's not. "I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." Now he says, "I come based on prophecy." The question, let's back up a little bit. The question, "Are you Elijah?" is based on Malachi chapter 4. Allow me to read that. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." You see, the inquirers were going back to Scripture. So when they said the prophet, not a prophet, when they said, "Are you the prophet?" this is what they're referring to. Are you the one that the prophet Malachi had spoken of? And John the Baptist said, "Nope, not him, not him." And then there is he's not Elijah, and the prophet, the Lord, from Deuteronomy 18, "The Lord your God," pause, please. Folks, if I can't get it right, I don't want to do it. And for whatever reason, my mind is distracted. I've got to come into focus, because I just turned around two of my points by talking about the prophet before I talked about Elijah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for stopping me. When they ask John the Baptist, "Are you Elijah?" their inquiry was based on Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. When they ask John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet?" Their inquiry was based on Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. We're on track now. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not again hear the voice of the Lord my God or see the great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them at all that I commanded them. And whoever will not listen to my words that he speaks, speak in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Now, what God is saying here is I'm going to send a prophet, but there's going to be false prophets. And the false prophets need to beware, but this is the prophet that they had referenced when they asked John the Baptist, "Are you the one that was spoken of in Deuteronomy 18? Are you that or the prophet?" And what's John's response? Nope. Nope. Not the prophet. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. Then why are you baptizing? You are not the Christ, you're not Elijah, not the prophet, you're just a nobody, and you should not be out here baptizing people. You see how they were trying to make him fit the mold. By what authority are you doing this? Which brings us to our second point. John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew who he was. He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." As the prophet Isaiah said, John the Baptist was a voice announcing the word. Isn't that ironic? A voice proclaiming the word. Isaiah chapter 40, a voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Remember the passage of Deuteronomy? You better be saying what the Lord wants you to say. You better be speaking the word of God and not just your own opinion. Folks, I want you to be wary of something. When somebody comes to you and says, "The Lord told me to tell you," caution. I'm not saying it can't be true, but caution, discernment. And if anybody says, "Thus saith the Lord," and he ain't already said it, then it don't need to be said. Be careful. John the Baptist knew who he was. John clearly understood his identity and his calling. He was a prophet pointing others to Christ. The religious folks wanted to know, by what authority do you baptize? Who said it was okay for you to do this? They were trying to find a place within the hierarchy for John to fit into their own corrupt religious system. John didn't fit the mold, and brothers and sisters, Jesus wouldn't either. He didn't fit the mold. So John knew who he was not. John knew who he was. John the Baptist knew what he was sent to do. John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. He knew his purpose. And this is where we begin to put the rubber on the road. He knew his purpose. He was the forerunner. He was appointed by God to announce the greater one. He was appointed by God to prepare the way that would point to the true Messiah. John also knew that he would have no claim to fame. His entire purpose and calling was to appear, to announce, and fade away. What a calling. How many people would see that even today in our religious enthusiasm and with evangelical, well, this guy come and just made one simple announcement, then he disappeared. Matter of fact, he ended up getting killed. He was murdered. Are we satisfied to know that our purpose may be just one thing? Just one thing. And what would that be? It may not be to be a pastor. It may not be to be a teacher. It may not be to be an evangelist. It may not be to be a renowned and our names logged in history books to be remembered by. Lord, I hope not. It's just that we need to be able to point Jesus out. We need to be able to identify Jesus. We need to be able to point others towards him. And we do that in our daily lives. Listen to the dialogue recorded later in chapter 3 of John. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going over to him. Now, is that a place to get jealous? Is that a place to say, wait a minute, you guys are with me. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourself bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. What a powerful statement. Brothers and sisters, he looked at the Christ. He seen more than a cousin, right? and he said, this is it. My entire reason for existing, the sum total of my purpose for being born is to simply say, there he is, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I have no other purpose for living. What a way to go, folks. And the day that John was beheaded, I bet you that he was at peace. He had accomplished everything that God had sent him out to do. He had did it all. He had run the race. He had completed the course. He had finished well. It was time for him to go home. And all he said was, there he is. Brothers and sisters, that's our calling. That's our purpose. John knew who he was not. John knew who he was. John knew what he was sent to do. Point number four, John knew Jesus. John knew Jesus, and he would make Jesus known. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hey, folks. I know this guy, he's my cousin, but God has revealed to me that he's way more than that. Not only is my cousin, by the way, he's the Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. And verse 30, do not miss this in our text this morning. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. That is a powerful, powerful confirmation of the eternal existence of Christ. Remember who leaped in the womb when he was first introduced to Jesus? And what, about 6 months? About 6 months difference? John knew Jesus. Number five, John knew what Jesus was sent to do. So you see, as we follow this through, John understood that he had to make sure the people knew who he was not, so they would not put false expectations on him or assign him a position that was not his. Then he had to know exactly who he was. He had to know exactly what his purpose was. He had to know Jesus, and he really needed to know what Jesus came to do. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a passage. What a passage. This is the one who will bear the sins of the entire world. I can only baptize you with water, but this Jesus that I bear witness to will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And how was all this confirmed? Through the ministry of John. In Luke 3, we have another addition to this account. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. How huge is this event when the triune God shows up at a point in time? This is huge. We have a witness right here of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all being present at the same time to celebrate the Son's inauguration into full-time ministry. Isn't that exciting? John identified the Christ, and God confirmed it. This Jesus is the Son of God. Do you need more proof? Hang on. Jesus is the Word, John 1. Jesus is the light and life, John 1. Jesus is the Son of God, John chapter 1. I'll give you references. Jesus is the Word, John 1 through 3, verse 14. Jesus is light and life, John 1, 14 through 13. Jesus is the Son of God, John 1, 15 through 18, 30 through 34, and verse 49. Jesus is the Christ, John 1, 19 through 28, 35 through 42. Jesus is the Lamb of God, John 1, 29, 35 and 36. Jesus is the King of Israel, John 1, 43 through 49. Jesus is the Son of Man, John 1, 50 through 51. You need more proof. He created the world, John 1, 1 through 4. He gives men salvation, John 1, 9 through 13. He reveals God the Father, John 1, 15 through 18. He baptizes with the Spirit, John 1, verse 33. He has intimate knowledge of men, verses 42, 47 through 48. He forgives sin, John 1, verse 29. He opens heaven's gates and the way to heaven, John 1, verses 50 and 51. But we're not done yet. The testimonies about him. John the Baptist testified to him, John 1, verse 7, verse 15, verse 29. John the Apostle, John 1, verse 14. The Old Testament prophets, John 1, verse 30 through 45. The Holy Spirit, John 1, verses 33 through 44. Andrew being called as a disciple, John 1, verse 41. Philip being called as a disciple, John 1, verse 45. And Nathanael being called, John 1, verse 49. I have presented 21 indisputable reasons that you can believe Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe? 21 in one chapter. Which means there is in reality 21 sermons in the first chapter of John. And I have heard preachers say, I just don't know what to preach anymore. You could spend 21 weeks, at a minimum, in the first chapter of John's gospel. Every reason is sufficient. Each of the 21 is sufficient to prove Jesus alone can forgive our sins and save us for all eternity. I present you with these closing questions. Do you know who you are not? Do you know who you are? Do you know the purpose for which you were called? Are you walking in and fulfilling that call. And the most important question I will present to you this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you making him known? Is he increasing in your life while you decrease? Watchman Nee said, the gospel we preach must not be just something we hear from men or read from books or even conceive through meditation. Unless it is delivered to us by God, it can serve no spiritual utility. And I pray that this morning my inadequacies and my failures have not interrupted in any way that which God wanted us to hear. But I can ask you this. Only once did God choose a completely sinless preacher. And I'm not him. But I know him. I know him. Do you? Not in an abstract, not in an intellectual way alone, not simply in an emotional way or an experiential way, but you know him. Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Would you be able to point him out to others as the one who is uniquely different and the only one who can save you from your sins? That's the question we must all answer today. So as we stand for our invitation song, if you would like prayer this morning, we'll be here to pray with you. If you would like to just come to the altar and pray for someone or seek the Lord as we begin this new year, Maybe there's some things going on in your life and you just want prayer as we get this new beginning. It's the ultimate mulligan. We get to shoot all over again, right? But let me tell you something. We'll probably fail again. I'm sure we all had our little hiccups last year, and maybe as recently as this morning. But don't we serve a wonderful God? Don't we serve a wonderful God who is full of grace and mercy? Everybody here gets a do-over as they seek the forgiveness of our Savior, because we're all sinners saved by grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing our invitation hymn.